it just felt like a vacation. So I want to thank the Lord for that, and I want to thank you all. Every time I have the privilege to speak, I feel like it is just that, a privilege. It's, you know, the Lord always, when any time somebody speaks, the Lord has done a process in the person to share what they're going to share. So I feel like I'm one of you. I'm dusty, I'm tired, I'm all those things, and I'm just going to share what the Lord's been putting on my heart. I'm staying a little bit with the theme, which is walking closely and finishing well. And something that was said last week in the sermon was, it's personal. And it was just a little blurb, but I clung onto that because it is personal. Our walk is personal. So just kind of set the stage of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to read a little poem. I'm only going to read a few stanzas to you. This is actually a poem my dad wrote to me, but I felt like it was general, that it could apply to all of us. It's called The Race. There's a race we run that's already won. No pain, no gain may seem like a pun. But those who know they will go, be it fast or be it slow, to or fro, here we go. A marathon, a race, one step at a time. Each moment, each day, a mountain we climb. Peril or plight, he secures us through. Hope and gladness he brings to our view. The race is not for quitters or sitters, nor talkers or mockers, nor gawkers or walkers. The race belongs to those who say yes, always believing that God knows our quest. The race isn't to the swift and the strong, or to be all show to impress a throng. It's a race of inches and steps unmeasured, given by God to be eternally treasured. God never flinches or worries a bit, always aware of how we've been hit. He knows, sorry for planning that, he began a good work which will not fail, and those who abide will ever prevail. So I am just a tired runner running the race, and I am sorry that I got emotional, but that's where I'm at, so it's just being vulnerable with you guys. And I want to finish well, and I hope that today we're activated. Thank you, Jeannie. Bring me a tissue. Thanks so much. I hope today that we are activated, because all weekend long, I kept having this thought of, are you kidding me? And that was a phrase that would come to my mind as Lucy and Cade needed something. They were screaming, and I had to go here and there. And all of us are at different seasons, so I know it could be jobs, it could be finances. But I'd say that phrase, are you kidding me? And I would hear him say, nope. And I'd be like, oh. So I would get my heart back, and I just feel like this is what it's about. I'm not a quitter. I'm not a sitter. I'm going to do it. It might not be pretty, but I'm going to finish well. And how do we do that? Because as I was preparing, I thought to myself, surely it's like some days I just want to hit redo, and I know you guys can relate, whether it's in work or family or all these things. There's days that we just want to start fresh, and the beautiful thing is that we can. When I was, you know, missing Mike and all this, I thought, thank you, Lord, that we're not alone. It's not if you're married. It's not if you have children. You're not alone, because we have the God with us. And when we think about our life, today I want to think about the end of your life. I've said this before when I've been up here, that I am constantly surrounded by a lot of hard things of little ones, that their lives are coming to an end. And it's really a blessing, because it constantly sharpens me. I just say, what am I living for? What are we living for? In Francis Chan's book, he talks about this. He did this visual when he spoke. It was a really long rope. And if I had more time, I would have done it. So just picture like a long, 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 long rope. And on the tip of the rope was a little bit of red. That's the now, the little bit of red. And everything else is eternity. So today, as I'm talking, I want you to think about the end of your life, when you take your last breath, and then look back and say, what am I living for? Because, and I'm going to say this a lot today, it's personal. Your walk is personal. He's personally involved in your walk. He's calling you by name. He's asking you to stand up, to walk and not sit, to not give up, to finish that finish line with dirt on you and you've rolled in the mud, but you got back up. To think of our end of our life not as a period, but it's a comma. So right now we're in that, just picture that red. We're right here and it keeps going. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, I asked myself, will I be able to say this? For I fought the good fight and I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Will I be able to say that? Will I be able to say, I kept the faith, I finished well? So thinking about today, the race or a journey or a marathon, whatever you might call it, I want to say your race, your journey, your marathon. So think of your name and think Shay's race, Dudley's race. All the things that made you you, all your pain, all your hardship, all of your disappointments, all of the not being loved and all those things make you who you are. It's not the pain, like what Johanna said, it was so beautiful because that's exactly right. I've been asked that question, but Aaron, you're a good person, or how did this happen? It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. Bad things do happen to good people. They do, but the good news is that I'm not alone. And I have a king who's walking with me and guiding me and showing me where to go. He's personally weaving together a story in my life and in your life. There's a quote by Rabbi Zacharias, and I'm going to quote him a little bit today. Once you begin to see God's hand in your life, you will know that his workmanship within you and through you was tailor-made just for you. His design for your life pulls together every thread of your existence into a magnificent work of art. Every single thread matters and has a specific purpose. So all of those things, all the good, all the hard, all the things in your life that would make you not be able to forgive or make you not be able to love or make you feel defensive, whatever those things are, we are a wounded people. We are running injured. We are running this race not perfect. You know, and all of those things, when we submit it to the Lord, allows us to be this beautiful masterpiece, because he doesn't waste anything. He does not waste it. What you've gone through, what you're going through, we must make it matter. Because it is not supposed to be wasted. It's a waste to waste it. You know, I've said to the Lord so many times when I get up in the morning, it's got to count. I'm going to respond today. I'm going to respond to your call. It's got to count. How do we do this? You know, how do we make it matter? How do we not quit when we're tired? How do we even start running? Maybe we think we've been in a race and then we realize, wait, I've been kind of sitting on the bench, or I haven't even gotten a jersey. You know, it's just we think we're in this team, and it's easy to get lost in a team, but the Lord, the coach, calls you by name, and he says, you, I want you to play. That's what he said to me. The first step we have to do is take a step, to get those shoes on. We got to take a step, and that always involves our heart. And when we think about our heart, and this awesome book, Grand Weaver, if you haven't read it, it was given to us as a Christmas gift by Rabbi Zacharias. He talks about three things that will happen to your heart. It will grow hard, it will be broken, or it will be tender. No one escapes those three. So going to the end of our life and thinking about it, your heart will grow hard, it will be broken, or it will be tender. The goal is a tender heart. Because when we have a tender heart, we're able to be molded, we're able to be moved, we're able to look at things differently. A broken heart just quits. A hard heart doesn't give it the time of day. So all of us will not escape that. that we are responsible for our hearts and a heart check. In Hebrews 2, 14 through 18, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, that so by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who are in their lives were held slavery by the fear of death. And it goes down to 18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That we serve a God who has been through every single thing that you've been through. He's felt loneliness, he's felt despair, he's felt rejection. But what did he do with that? He never shrunk back, he loved more. He didn't give up, he walked on. And again, when we're thinking about who's gone before us as our model, Jesus. And when you're having a suffering or you're having a hard time, I'm really starting to rejoice because it means that I'm walking closer to him who suffered. And I'm becoming more like laying down my cross. And I'm starting to see it as a real blessing. There's another line, an excerpt, I just felt like it said it better than I could. So, God, the grand weaver, seek those who are tender hearts so that he can put his imprint on them. Your hurts, your disappointments are part of that design to shape your heart and the way we feel about reality. The hurt you live through will always shape you. There's no other way. And we're told in the Bible, it talks about guarding your heart. And yesterday, I felt like I got a really good workout in that. And it was actually, I can say, good. Because my heart was easily getting swayed. And I had to take charge of that and say, no, I'm going to focus here. I'm going to not do that. I'm not going to react to that. I'm going to choose to be patient. I'm going to choose to be kind. And I started thanking the Lord for it. And there was such freedom in that. I really felt a lightness come on me. Because when we realize that we have control of not what happens to us, but we have control of how we respond to what happens to us. We don't have control of what other people say about you, but you have control about what you say about other people. You don't have control about the pain that someone did to you, but you have control about the love you choose to give them. And these things make you activated in the race. You're starting to run when you do that. When you start feeling that pull, for one, it's great when you feel the Holy Spirit check in your heart. That's good. That means the Holy Spirit is active and his attention's on you and you're actually feeling that. Don't ignore it. And it's good. There's times where you're under a microscope and you feel like you don't have any wiggle room, whether it's finances or in your marriage or in your health, and you're so desperate for him. And those are blessings because it keeps you alert and keeps you focused. I feel like I'm constantly focusing about the end of my life because I'm surrounded by death so much. And it's hard, but it's also beautiful because I realize it's just the red. It's not the end, it's just the red. And there's more. And as we begin to put on our shoes, we start to walk. And as we start walking, and this is point number two, it starts to involve our mind. And we start actually maybe huffing and puffing, maybe sit down at a bench, but you get back up, but you're walking and you're moving. And it said that the brain is to the body what the mind is to the soul. The brain is to the body what the mind is to the soul. And it's so interesting, the more I read about the brain, and I do not pretend to understand it, I get like a word here and there, but they don't understand the mind. They don't understand how someone hears something, gets a thought, puts it in a concept, and moves forward. They don't understand that. But there's a part that God gave us, and it's our mind. And we are to walk this race. Beginning to walk involves our mind, stepping out, and not just sitting there. Because This is kind of funny, but a lot of times I'll start out my day in my workout clothes, but I never worked out. It was a start, and I got them on, and that's more than other days. So I thought about that spiritually. Sometimes we put on our shoes, we get the outfit, but we just don't do it. So that's how I can, you know, I feel good, like there's intention, I'm gonna try. Instead, I just end up looking disgusting all day. And like apologizing to everyone I see. So it's really funny, but if you think about that spiritually, like, you know, it's good to have the intention. And I think we've had intentions. You know, coming to church is an intention, whether you realize it or not. It's an intention. You know, talking about things that are eternal are intentions. That you're responding to heart cries from the Lord. But it's a step further. You start walking. And in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it says, and before I read this, I want you to think about this when you have a hard day. Because I do, and it really helps me. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's you guys, look to somebody and say, hey, witness. Hey, witness. All right. Okay, such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. If you're like me, you're saying to yourself, again, I did this again. So easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, it's personal. It's not for all of us. You have a specific path marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He never quit. He didn't sit. He continued. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He did it. He set the model. Because why? We do grow weary. We do lose heart. But we have a model of Jesus who he actually chose to lay down his life. He wasn't obligated. He chose. He had your name in mind. He saw your face. He knew your fingerprint. He chose. And as we begin to walk, we think about that. We think about our surroundings. We think about the great cloud of witnesses around us. Think about the people who have gone before you. Think about the people after you. Think about the imprint you're leaving, the heritage you're leaving. And the third is finding the road and run with perseverance. If we go back down to this verse and it talks about running with perseverance, well, if anyone's ever tried to start running, you know when you don't have perseverance. It's exhausting and you're like, I only ran 100 yards and I'm so tired. That's because our muscles are weak, right? If you've ever just hit the gym and you're just like, I'm going to do it, you feel that you are weak. But sometimes we don't know we're weak until we start doing that. And they're like, wow, whoa. Yeah, I remember after Cade, because it hasn't been Lucy, and I started working out, I thought I was going to throw up after every class, and I'm like, this is embarrassing. But I realized it was a mirror of just where I was. And without that, I wouldn't have a reference point. So spiritually, same thing. When you start running, you're going to come to a hill, and you're going to go, are you kidding me? Because the Lord is building in us endurance, and we have to be persistent and just going up the hill. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes you're just like crawling up the hill, but you're going up. You're going down. You're going through the different terrain, and we find the road. We never give up. We continue on. And I remember in one of the Bible studies that we did with Beth Moore, there was a quote, and I should have brought it, but she talked about finishing the finish line. And some, you know, it's okay to finish the finish line with stains of grass and dirt on your body because you have rolled over that finish line because you wanted that finish line. You're finishing that race well. It's with purpose and intentionality to do that. And when we find that road, everything that I'm talking about today is meaningless without the cross. It's meaningless. And I really felt on my heart that as we were talking today, as much as we talk about death, or I'm talking about death, the end of our life, because we all will, we must talk about the cross. We must talk about the resurrection. Because if there is not death, there cannot be life with the cross. He had to die so that he could rise again. And he says, in the word it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Can you imagine being on that cross and having joy? Because he knew the end. And I'm really hoping that as we're talking today, that this isn't just a feel-good message. This isn't just a, whoo, this is a check and a heart check, and it was a me check. Because really, it when we get so wrapped up in frustrations and all these different things, I mean, I'm saying to myself, that's because I'm just looking at the red. I am just looking at the red, and I'm thinking about how the red is affecting me. And it's so sneaky, and it happens, and then all of a sudden, we're all like this, all about us. And then it's so easy to justify it, because you could we could tell each other 100 reasons why. And it's really, I've been asking the Lord, because sometimes I feel bad telling him I'm just wiped out, but he understands that, and that's just my own issue. That's and he heard it this weekend, so don't you worry, I talk real. But I said, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay just, I feel, I want to rise above it. I want to step out. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to declare his purposes. And I started on my way here, which is such a great activity if anybody is feeling like you need to prime the pump. I didn't start with things I don't know. I started telling him things I do know. So I said, okay, Lord, I do know that you love me. And that is a gift to know that. And it's true. And everyone should know that. It's not based on what you've done or haven't done, or who you are, or what you look like. That's the mystery. He just loves you, just because he does. And when we can't receive it, or if it like sits weird when I say that, that's your issue, not his issue. He loves you. He loves you. And knowing that, there's so much freedom. So I told him, I go, I know that you love me. I know that you gave me two beautiful children. I know that you gave me a husband. I know, and I just started going. And I started telling him all these things I know. I know that you've given me a house. I know that, and you can start small. I know that you've given me 2 feet. And then just keep going. And what happens is, I found as I started telling him what I do know and what he's done, my faith began to rise. Because there is an enemy seeking to devour your lunch. And he is just beep, 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 all day long, all day long. All day long, all day long. But you're not this. You don't have this. You didn't do that. You didn't do this. And by the end, you're just like, I know. Okay? We already know that. What? But there's something better. We know what we don't have, but tell the Lord what you do have. Because each one of us in him, we have the right to be called sons and daughters of the royal king. You have the right to talk to the creator of the whole universe. I'm not talking about trying to get with a professor from UCLA. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who made you on purpose, who put you on this planet on purpose, and has a plan for you. He wants to talk to you. I can't believe that. I mean, think about how hard it is to pick up a call from a friend. We're too busy. He wants to talk to you. He is knocking, 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 and will not stop knocking until you answer. He pursues you. You are worth it. He pursues you. He is actively, purposely pursuing you on purpose. It's not like he has to because he's God. It's because he chooses to because he loves you. And all of the suffering that he did for us was joyfully done because of the finish. He knew that through the death would come life. And he knew that through his sufferings, there would be life. And we know that he's not only the God with us, but he's the God that's gone before us. Every time. I know that when I had to send Cade on a couple different ambulance rides, and it was really a tough time. You know, Kate wasn't talking. It was just a lot. And the Lord gave me such peace. I'm with him, number one. I'm sitting with him in this ambulance. And number two, I've already gone through this emotion. I mean, the Father and his Son, you kidding me? He knows. And I think that sometimes our suffering can be looked at something bad. Like, oh, I got to get out of the suffering. The suffering are the treasures to be harvested. Because it's not putting them away, getting rid of them, but it's using the suffering for the kingdom of God. There's a purpose of why God doesn't look at you and say, well, this happened because you're not this. Well, that makes sense why that happened to you. No. Like Johanna said, bad things happen to good people. So that's just it. But some bad things will happen. And that's when we find out if we're out of shape or in shape. And even if you think you're in shape, he's going to push you and say, now run this mile. And it just can be so beautiful. And I really felt like that picture of that long rope with a little bit of red. We're living in the red, but it's just temporary. It seems so long, but there will be a day, and hopefully not soon, where we take our last breath and we will enter in to the comma, eternal glory. It's not a period. And there's so much hope in that. But God chooses to use you. He chooses to have things lined up for you to be a part of. I don't know why he trusts me. I don't know why he chooses to put me certain areas. I don't know why, but he does. He actually allows me to get involved because it's personal. And I think you and I would not allow people to get involved because we know the human error. We're like, no, they might mess that up. They're definitely going to say this. Don't say anything. I'll do it. The Lord doesn't do that. He says, no, I want you to talk here. And yeah, you might mess up. It's okay. I'm bigger than that. I want you just to, in the race, in the running, I want you to open your mouth and I want you to cheer people on and I want you to get people in the race. I want you to get them running. So thinking about that, without the cross, we can't have a resurrection. And there is Psalm 23 is probably familiar to a lot of us, but in this book, I thought this was so beautiful. And this is by somebody unknown. Breaks down our relationship with the Lord. So as I read this, I'm going to kind of pause between each sentence. If we can think about how it is personal. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I will not be in want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside quiet waters. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For you are with me. That's faithfulness. Your rod and the staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. You anoint my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup overflows. That's abundance. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever, that's eternity. Isn't that great? And we're going to do a little bit of worship. We have kind of wanted to have some on the end today. Sometimes we'll do this where we get to respond to what the Lord has stirred up in our hearts. Someone here needs to know they're loved. Someone here needs to know that it's not over. Someone needs to know that you were made on purpose. Someone needs to know that he is paying attention. And he hasn't given up. And he hasn't counted you out. And he hasn't asked you to sit down. And he hasn't asked you to take off your jersey. He's asked you to get up. He's asked you to put on your shoes. And he's asked you to start walking. And he's asked you to go up the hills and the downhills and through the valleys and the hot days and the cold days and not give up. And he told us that, you know what? You don't have to do it by yourself. I'm going to be with you. So as we sing this song, if Tony will come up, we can do the song we talked about and then maybe another. I really, really wanted, you know, I didn't know how many was going to be here today or fit, because really, I don't care, because the Lord allowed this for me. He did. He allowed me to speak because he loves me, and he let my heart get realigned. And so I thank him for that exercise, even though it wasn't fun, but hey, I saw I'm out of shape, and I need some more endurance. And I'm going to just keep going because I'm not a sitter and I'm not a quitter. And that's what I'm encouraging us to be. And I do hope, I think that word activate that Johanna said, I do hope that we allow the Holy Spirit to activate us. It is not about trying. It's not about, okay, you've done this good for this long now. It's about saying, I choose today to trust you. I choose to receive your love. I choose to walk forward. I choose to not let my past define me. I choose to love others even when I was not loved. I choose to be vulnerable and not allow people to speak into my life. I choose you, Lord. That's all, is just being open. So if you'll stand with us, and I certainly will be available to pray for people, but I'm kind of envisioning if, and I'll come up in a minute, but we definitely will break up and maybe pray. I don't know how we'll do that. I'll see in a minute. So yes, please stand. Thank you, Meg.